chapter 10. Spiritual identity. Whose am I? Let's unpack this, okay? Because here's where the celebration happens. Here's where you and I can celebrate no matter what. If we are in Christ and we know whose we are, the war's won. I might find myself neck deep in alligators in the tightest alleyway of Ziklag. But if I am truly a child of God and I know it, I know whose I am, well, I've read tomorrow's news. I know how this works. I may have no idea how I get out of this mess, but I know I'm going home. Amen? Amen. Steele Johnson, Olympic diver, said this, and I quote, in front of billions of people when interviewed live at the Olympics, said, the fact that I was going into this diving event knowing that my identity is rooted in Christ and not in the result of this competition gave me peace. And it let me enjoy the contest. End quote. If we really know whose we are, he was not going to be identified with a medal. He was identified with the Messiah. You know what I love about this? He says, so I was able to enjoy the contest. See, you and I, friends, we can go through spiritual warfare with joy when we know whose we are. Now, that doesn't minimize the fact that if you get wounded, you get hammered, you get hurt, it really hurts. It does. The beauty is that through the gospel and through our King, we can know the both and. Remember back to the beginning? This is both exhilarating and exhausting. I've often said to people, I think it's a wonderful thing to put your head down at the end of the day and be just absolutely spent. I am blessed to say in my last words to the Lord before I go to sleep, Lord, I'm pooped. I can't wait until tomorrow. Every day seems to get harder and better. That's not to be avoided. That's to be celebrated. That's to be celebrated. And it's not a workaholic's. It's not a perfectionist call. This is not that, hey, more. No, it's to know the joy of hearing your King say, well done. I filled your plate today and you ate it. You got it all taken care of. Good job. I don't love you any more because you did. I wouldn't love you any less if you didn't. But know the joy of hearing me say, well done. Well done. He says, movers and shakers, the type A people, even they can get worn out. So don't miss this. He says, when you forget who you are, you're susceptible to all these problems. Is there a way to stay away from Ziklag? He says, absolutely, know whose you are. And this is the flow of this chapter. He says, our safe and protected place, it's to be in Christ. When you know whose you are, that you live in Christ, that's your safe and protected place. You're going to be okay. You don't end up in Ziklag when you're concentrated on who you are and living out whose you are. He said, all biblical believers find their spiritual identity in him. In Christ, we are what he says, safe, with two S's. He uses the acronym S-S-A-F-E. And he wants us to remember that we're significant, secure, assured, forgiven, and empowered in Christ. And here again, the important thing is to recognize he's speaking to those who have been in or coming out of Ziklag that are true believers. I need to point out to you that these are not promises or facts for those who have jumped over the cross or burrowed underneath. This is for the spirit-filled children of God who find themselves stumbling in and out of Ziklag. He said, we've got to understand our spiritual identity. Many of us are like Jason Bourne, if you know those movies, the Jason Bourne movies. Espionage, super spy. It's a guy who's lost his mind but not his skills. He says, many of us are like Jason Bourne. Our head is full of Christian knowledge. We know the Bible stories and can find our way around Scripture. We can explain to others what it means to become a Christian and how to grow in our relationship with Christ. Still, our minds echo. How can I know all this and still not know who I am? That's a powerful parallel. See, if we're in Christ, then we belong to Christ. If we belong to him, then we're his. And if we're his, we have no worries. We have work to do, and we're in a war, but we have no worries. says, I'm significant because I'm in Christ. Because of whose I am significant. The truth of God's word must frame our significance found only in Christ. If we listen to the world, if we listen to ourselves, if we find our identity or establish our value based on the value system of anybody else but God and his word, we're going to head to Ziklag. We may camp out and live in Ziklag. If you're a Christian, if you've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, captured by grace, and are a child of the King, just some thoughts. We're made in the image of God. Don't forget that. You've been redeemed. You've been transformed. You are a new creation, if this is true. The million-dollar struggle and the question is it true? There are those, and David is probably the greatest example in the scriptures. There are those who do belong to the Lord, who have incredibly long and hard and bad stumbles. And the message to that person is, praise God, you've been transformed, and you are his. At the same time, there are those who have jumped over the cross, who look just as busy, if not busier, than the true saved children of God, like those who have burrowed underneath and are wolves in sheep's clothing, that look the part, who are also in Ziklag, not because they've stumbled, but because that's their home. And it's going to be impossible for you or for me to tell the difference sometimes. Even through the evaluation of fruit and their love or lack of love for one another, which Jesus said would be the telltale sign. You and I don't have God's eyes, so we can't see with an absolute surety. I just want to encourage you to take the truth of God's word and these warnings and these ways and these words that he's given us to help you walk through the minefield of this life. To be the encourager to those who need encouragement, to be the confronter to those who need to be confronted, all the while remaining Christ-like as the biblical Christian and church that you've been called and created to be. You see, we're also, as children of God, if that is who we are, we're protected. He protects us. That's Colossians 3:3. We're sealed in him. That's 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. We're those who have passed from death to life. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 6. I just pray, friends, that you and I will embrace what this is. The truths and the blessing that we've been invited to come home, empowered to come home, promised the open door to come home. The question is that what we want? Do we know whose we are? Do we embrace whose we are? Being a people pleaser will wear you out, says Moore. You don't have to perform for people anymore. If you're a child of God, you're an eternal heir of the King of Kings. I want to ask you, are you feeling the pressure of performing for people? Or are you resting in the fact that you are, in fact, a child of the King? You're forgiven. If you are, in fact, a child of God, you're forgiven. You don't have to perform anymore like a circus monkey. You're forgiven if, in fact, you are a child of God. God's forgiveness brings relief from guilt's burden. So if somebody is buried under the weight of guilt, it's either because they're not yet forgiven, and that's conviction. Praise God for it. It's like pain that turns you away from bad things. Or perhaps you've listened to the voices in Ziklag. If you are a stumbling brother or sister, perhaps you've listened to the voices of Ziklag that tell you that you're unredeemable and that you're unworthy. Listen, if you're a child of God, you're forgiven. Forgiven is forgiven. And your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. My place as a pastor and a missionary and a Christian and a brother to you all is to encourage you all to bring that same clarity to people. Not the determination of your either X or Y, but the clarity of what God and his word have said. The beauty is in the Word of God, not in our presentation. I don't have to make it sweeter to make it sound like He really loves you. No, the truth. The truth is the love, and the love is the truth. So our place is to bring great clarity. And I just warn you that where and when people run from that clarity, it's not a good sign. Again, I've just told you, we're not judge and jury. But where and when God's truth in love draw people away, it's not a good sign of where they are. Period. As we come in for a close in this chapter, Moore recommends that we pray Scripture. He says, pray Isaiah 38:17. Pray Jeremiah 31:34. Pray Micah 17:18-19. Pray Psalm 103:11-12. Listen, two verses. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Friends, you've been empowered by the infilling of the Holy Spirit to live in victory as one forgiven, to be the faithful whose life and love and light testify to the glory of our King and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can deal with the soul weariness that comes, and you'll be able, through that same Spirit's power, to resist and stay away from the detours that lead to Ziklag. That's a beautiful truth. In Christ, we are significant. In Christ, we are always accepted. In Christ, we are forgiven. And in Christ, we are empowered. Think about these three questions, and then we'll close with a loving example. What do you want people to think about when they hear your name? I asked you before, and I ask you again. What do you want people to think about when they hear your name? Number two, what defines you? What defines you? Third, what drives you? And drive is not a dirty word. What drives you? I'll let you in on a little secret. The author didn't include this, but I will. Your answers to number two and three are the same. What defines you drives you, and what drives you defines you. Oh, that it would be the glory of our King. Wonderful thoughts to contemplate as we get ready for the last chapter.